This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Ahead of next week's primary election in Ohio, we re-interviewed candidates in multiple local races. Today, our focus is on the Democratic primary for the open seat at the Hamilton County Commission. The seat was previously held by Todd Portoom, the longtime local official who passed away earlier this year. The candidates are Alicia Reese, Connie Pillich, and Kelly Prather. The order of today's interviews presented was determined by an internal random drawing, and we start with our pre-recorded interview with Alicia Reese, a former Cincinnati City Council member, state representative, and state tourism official. And joining me now is Alicia Reese. She is one of three Democratic candidates for an open seat on the Hamilton County Commission. She faces fellow Democrats Kelly Prather and Connie Pillich in the April 28th primary. Alicia Reese, thank you for being with us again.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you. Last time we talked, when we thought the election, the primary election, was going to be on March 17th, we were in one of our studios here at WVXU, but that's not allowed anymore. So since the whole world has been disrupted in the month since we last spoke, let me just start by asking how you're doing in all this.
Well, I'm doing fine. I'm doing good. And, you know, we've had whether it's the coronavirus or, you know, the high winds hit my house and I was without power for 72 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
But in all of that, I'm still here and I'm blessed and thankful to be able to wake up today and be able to have another day. I've been checking on a lot of folks, both in the county and around the country, family and friends, and certainly offer, you know, my prayers go out to everyone right now because I know people are, certainly concerned about their friends and their families and losing loved ones in these very tough times.
Yeah, they certainly are. My goodness, 3 days without power. I've been thinking a lot about the 1918 flu pandemic, and I think at least now we've got Netflix and stuff to pass the time that they didn't have back then. How did you make it through for those few days without access to those gadgets we enjoy?
Oh, that was tough because I had, gone to Kroger's and stocked up. So I lost a lot of my food. But, I was able to go and stay with my sister and my brother-in-law. So I was able to be with family. But it was really tough. I had to go down in the basement. It was a tough night. But I just, thank God that it was just, some damage to the house. And, I'm still here. So I always take a blessing for being able to wake up each day, and there's others that have it so much tougher. But even during those days, I continued to work helping seniors, making sure that they had food. I also, our team, we stuffed 1,000 bags. We kept going, stuffing bags where people was getting hand sanitizer and gloves and napkins and those kind of things. So we stuffed 1,000 bags the very next day. It doesn't stop. There are so many people that are in need and worse off. And so that's how I got through it, is I continue to help others. And that's what it's all about now, all of us coming together and helping each other.
Alicia Reese served on the Cincinnati City Council and also as a state representative in Columbus. And now I want to ask you, Alicia, this must be unlike any other campaign that you've done out of all the campaigns that you've had to run over the course of your political career. Let's talk a little bit about what's changed for you as the campaign moves from a physical one to primarily a digital one.
Yeah, I think it's tough in a number of ways, because not only is campaigning, it was halted at 12 hours. I think it's important to note 12 hours before the election. So a lot of people went to bed and woke up and thought there was still an election. And I was at some of the polling locations and trying to explain to people. And now they're going to a totally new system, because majority of the people do not vote by mail, have never voted by mail. I've never voted by mail, and didn't understand the process. And then, of course, there was back and forth on what the date actually is. So there are some people out there who still think the date, and I'm not going to say that date because I don't want them to get confused, still think it's a different date. And so we've moved to education, a lot of education and access to the steps that you have to take in order to vote. And so I'm getting calls every day from people who are saying, hey, are they going to mail me something, or was I supposed to do something? The Secretary of State cards just hit mailboxes, you know, this week, and some people still haven't gotten it yet. And at the same time, people are worried about making sure that they have enough food and making sure we get food to people who don't have food. And so our campaign has moved into a two-phase step. One is we launched our We Are All in This Together campaign, where we have volunteers with masks and gloves, and we've gone out with Meals on Wheels, making sure that seniors have access to food. We've worked with churches, as I've talked about, stuffing 1,000 bags and making sure people have access to hand sanitizers and gloves, and that's our first priority. Our second priority is making sure that people, their democracy is protected and they exercise their right to vote. And so what we've done in my living room, I produced a tutorial video to help people understand the steps that you have to take in order to vote. We printed out application request forms, and we were able to partner with local businesses. So we're promoting, buy local. But at the same time, while you're there, you have your application. So we've got them at gas stations. We've got them at neighborhood restaurants where people are going to get carry out. They're able to pick up their application in case they don't have a printer at home. I don't have a printer at home. And then we've also used our social platforms, our Alicia Reefer County Commissioner, to put where you can download the application. So we've been in education and access to the ballot. I'm the founder of the Ohio Voter Bill of Rights, where we got 100,000 signatures for voting rights to be in the Constitution. We got it in the DNC platform, and it was passed on the ballot in Michigan. But the premise of it was to make sure that people always have equal access to the ballot. So we've partnered with churches, and this Saturday, we started last Saturday, and this Saturday, several church locations will have what we call drive-through only, no contact, drive-through only, where people can come and fill out their request form. And they don't have to get out of their car. They drive through like they drive through at a fast food restaurant, and they move on. And it was very successful last Saturday. We have 10 locations this Saturday. Two of them is, one is Corinthian Baptist Church, which is leading this effort with us in Bond Hill, and also the Word of Deliverance in Forest Park. And then we have other locations in Avondale and College Hill, et cetera. So, and people can go on our Facebook page to get those locations. So we're doing everything we can to make sure that people have access to this process. And I'll tell you, it's tough because I have a lot of people still who are asking me, oh, I thought they were just going to send me the ballot. And that is not the case. You have to do the request form. So we've been pushing what we call the two-step process to democracy. And, and we have a hashtag, voting is essential. And we are really promoting that and trying to get that data out to make sure no one's left behind. So we've moved to more of an information and voter access center and also a help center for those who may be in need. We've also changed. We've got a hotline that's manned by one of our campaign volunteers. That's 861-6033. If you have any questions, we can walk you through the process. If you haven't gotten your ballot and you turned in your request, we'll make the call to the Board of Elections to try to see where your ballot is. We also, if you need food or you need some help, that's also a hotline, and we'll connect you to folks or try to get some of our volunteers out to help you. This is a time where we have to help each other, whether it's helping people to make sure they exercise their right to vote, or whether it's helping people to have access to the necessities that they need in order to, survive.
And we're talking with Alicia Reese, a Democratic candidate for Hamilton County Commissioner. She faces two fellow Democrats in the April 28th primary, Connie Pillich and Kelly Prather. Are there any issues that you've rethought since this pandemic started, or any issues that have come to light more clearly in your mind because of the COVID-19 crisis?
Well, I think it goes back to the issues that I was talking about, that I wanted to see the vision for the county. I think the unification of the city and the county working together You know, certainly now that we have this crisis, you're starting to see that we're able to work together with shared information, work together with one message, one, you know, one of unity. We don't see, you know, the bickering between, you know, parties or jurisdictions. And that's what we got to have. And that's what I've been running on is one Hamilton County. How do we work together as one Hamilton County? The other thing I think is important is that we now see the importance, we know the importance, but now how healthcare is critical. And with the county having a hospital levy, we are a stakeholder in the healthcare industry. And so one of the things I think is critical is, you know, making sure that we have the investment in infrastructure and healthcare, and now you're seeing the systems work together. And that's one of the things that I think that is critical, not only at the county level, but also the state level and the national level. And it brings me back to my first election for city council, and what really got me into running for office was the importance of our health clinics at the time. And I wanted to bring light to that, and I wanted to make sure they were funded. And now you're hearing now, have we properly funded our health department? Because now we're depending on the health commissioners at the city and the county dealing with this issue, this pandemic. And so, and how important they are on the front lines and our first responders. And that's something that I think is more highlighted. But if you remember the first interview I talked about, I talked about healthcare. The second thing is how important jobs and family services are, because all of the needs, the safety net, as I've talked about before, jobs and family services is a safety net, and that was my number one issue, and it continues to be, because that's where your unemployment benefits, whether you're seniors, whether you're a single mom, whether you need additional help and assistance, whether you're unemployed for the moment and need help, you know, the safety net is jobs and family services, and it has to be strong. It has to be robust. And so, you know, I think that, you know, it really highlights that the issues that I have been focused on are they're not just issues now. They are critical. And so, you know, the next group that's going to come in, and I'm speaking that coronavirus, I'm speaking it to be gone because I want it gone. We still will have an economic issue. A lot of people, how do they put the pieces back together? You know, how do we interact with people in the future? What is our healthcare system going to be in the future? What is our, and I'm not talking, you know, healthcare system at every level, you know, because we have a hospital levy. So we have a lot of a stake in this game. And what is jobs and family services? Are we going to be able to meet the needs of so many people that are going to be in need as we put these pieces back together? And we're going to have one Hamilton County, because it's going to take all of us together, not just for this moment, but from now on. It's got to be one Hamilton County as we put these pieces together. Kids going back to school, how are we going to pick up the pieces? And we've got to have the right team to pick these pieces up, move us forward, and make us even stronger as we come out of this.
And so we've got about a minute left for this question. I want to ask, local governments are going to be facing probably some difficult budget decisions. And while the next budget will be approved over the summer before any three of you is elected from this current Democratic race, it looks like this could be lingering. So what would be your priorities, and what would be some areas that you think the city could cut? What would be your budget priorities?
Well, I think that would be hard to say at this moment, considering that I'm not on the county commission. I don't know all of the places that they put all of their dollars. I have to see where they're going to go this next phase. But we've got to focus on the basics. I think that would be my priority, is let's work on the basics to make sure that the citizens of Hamilton County have the basics to put the pieces back together. So my focus would be on the basics, making sure that I certainly would not be cutting anything dealing with health right now. I would want to make our jobs and family services robust, because that's where people are going to be going for the safety net. And so my focus for the budget would be now let's get back to the basics. Once we have financed the basics to help people pick the pieces up, then we can start adding on in terms of the growth. But right now we've got to get back now to the basics to help people put the pieces back together. And that would be my budget priority. Dealing with issues, I'll tell you another cut. Right now we'd have to put on hold the issue with the tailgate facility, Hilltop with the Bengals. We got to put that on hold right now. And we've got to invest in the people of Hamilton County to help them put the pieces back together.
And Alicia Reese, I want to give you 30 seconds to make your direct pitch to voters.
This is a tough time. I'm asking you to, praying for you and asking for you to be safe and do everything we can to be safe, all of the safety measures. At the same time, I want to make sure that you have access to your democracy. And I'm asking that you exercise your right to vote. And if you need any help, call us at 861-6033. We are in this together. We'll get through this together. And we will be one Hamilton County, one strong Hamilton County.
Alicia Reese is a Democratic candidate for the Hamilton County Commission in the April 28th Democratic primary. She faces fellow Democrats Kelly Prather and Connie Pillage. Alicia Reese, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue our look at next Tuesday's Democratic primary for the open seat on Hamilton County Commission. Next up is Connie Pillage, a former state representative. Here is our pre-recorded interview. And joining me now is Connie Pillage, one of three Democratic candidates for Hamilton County Commission. Ms. Pillage, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, let me just start by asking how you are doing amid all this.
Well, I am fine. We are pretty safe here at home. My son, who lives in Ann Arbor, Michigan, however, probably has COVID-19.
Oh, my gosh.
His doctor will not let him come in to get tested, but he is under the doctor's care, and he now only has a dry cough, which is taking a very long time to go away, so he can't go to work either.
Well, so what does that do for you as a mom who, you know, you can't be there?
Well, it's hard. It's scary. I mean, your kid gets a cold or something, you know, at any time, and you always worry about them, but the first thing I thought of was, oh my goodness, does he have COVID-19? And while his doctor won't let him come in to get tested, they're treating him as if he does, and his symptoms seem to be consistent, so I am appropriately worried.
So he's just waiting it out at this point in isolation?
Yes, and he's bored to death.
Gosh, I can only imagine.
He's bored to death.
Well, it sounds like the prognosis, while, you know, concerning, is promising, I suppose.
Yes, yes. Yes, we're happy that he's doing all the right things, keeping in touch with his doctor. But it can be pretty distracting, yes.
Thank you for sharing that with us. We appreciate the information and hope it works out well for him. But, of course, you were on the ballot on March 17th in this Democratic primary for Hamilton County Commission, and this global pandemic, this COVID-19, disrupted that as well. We will now be voting in Ohio on April 28th. What has changed for the way you're campaigning since your original plans and last time we talked, which was in person, by the way, which we can't do anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it's hard to run a campaign when you can't go out and talk to voters. So that has dramatically changed. And, of course, just having to run a second primary campaign is just otherworldly. We sort of feel adrift. I want to say that I had planned to give my campaign team a few days off anyway right after the primary. They deserved it. They were working so hard. We didn't expect it to be this for this reason, though. So we began with a two-week quarantine because on the campaign trail, we were in contact with thousands of people from all over the county. And the last 10 days, a lot of that was at the Board of Elections because people were coming in to vote early. And as the recommendations from Columbus came out, we started practicing the distancing. But it was just inevitable, in my opinion, that somebody was going to catch it. So I thought the best thing to do for my team and for everyone in the community was that we just stay home. So we did that, and we moved the campaign online 100%. So we did things like we created videos, sent out emails to inform our supporters about what was going on with COVID-19, and then eventually we started turning back to the original issues that voters cared about. Another thing I've been doing is just checking in with not even just folks who supported me, but folks, community leaders. I think labor was, while I had more labor endorsements than anyone else in this race, other candidates also had labor endorsements. So I checked in with all of our labor unions. I've been checking with church leaders and my supporters just to see how they're doing and, frankly, to make sure they know that the election is still going on.
Did you support the idea of moving the election?
Well, that's a hard question. You know, as a candidate, I'm kind of close to the election. And when we heard about 45 minutes after the last minute of early voting, I heard the governor on the radio. I was listening to your radio, as I'm at your station, of course, and heard that he was talking about suspending the election. I thought, oh my goodness, all that work, all that time, all that stuff we did. But I mean, you can't argue with keeping people safe. That's much more important. You know, it's hard on us, but you know, we're just little specks of sand in the grand scheme of things. It's more important to have people stay safe.
Is there anything that I guess you stood for or policy positions that you have taken that you think are now better highlighted because of this pandemic that we're enduring?
Oh, sure. Sure. Part of my training in the military, of course, I've always talked about my leadership training and my strategic planning training that I've developed as an officer in the Air Force, but I was also the disaster preparedness officer for my unit. And I know that every organization has to have some sort of disaster plan. We learned that the hospitals here in Cincinnati were in pretty good shape because they had had some training and getting some ready for a big problem when we had the Ebola crisis. Fortunately, we didn't have much of that in the United States, but that started our hospitals getting ready to plan for a crisis like this. But having that knowledge of how to manage a disaster and prepare for it was pretty important. Now, of course, in the Air Force, we prepared for chemical warfare. That's the same thing kind of as this. It's just a different way to introduce an agent than with by a foreign power to intentionally kill people. So I think that that has highlighted it. The other thing that is going to be really hard is the financial situation that the county is going to find itself in. The county does rely on sales taxes for a critical part of its revenue. And those, you know, we're not collecting very much because few people are shopping and in the county. So that's going to reorganize our budget, and it's going to be a tough year. It's going to be a tough several years as we climb out of this.
And we're talking with Connie Pillage. She's one of three candidates on the Democratic side running for Hamilton County Commission. Her opponents are Kelly Prather and Alicia Reese. So let's talk a little bit more about that, because you're watching still from the outside, hoping to become an insider at the County Commission. What is your, I guess, analysis or perspective of the way that the local county government has responded during the crisis?
Well, I do want to give a shout out to the county. The county has done an incredible job. The president of the county commission, Denise Driehaus, with her regular briefings, giving us information from not just on the numbers, but also from important sources like the sheriff's department, public health, jobs and family services, all the agencies that are affected. I think that has been done very, very well. I also believe Hamilton County Public Health has been incredible in its response. So I'm very proud of those people and the people who are still putting it on the line to make sure that they get the word out and try to educate the public on what's going on. I'm very proud of them. I think what as we go forward, the hard thing is going to be the budget. You know, it's going to be very hard on all communities in this county.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's dive into that. And if you're elected, I guess a new fiscal year will have begun by that time. But there, as you said, it might take a few years to climb out of this. Mm-hmm. Where do you see steps needing to be taken in order to stave off the worst and to climb out?
Well, one thing I have been doing to prepare for that is reviewing, I reviewed the county budget and different department memos before the primary date to educate myself. But when you're in the heat of a campaign, it's not always easy to dive in. Well, guess what? I got a lot of time on my hands now. So I've been diving in pretty deeply to especially the operational and financial assessment that was done by the Cincinnati Regional Business Committee and the Cincinnati Business Committee just a year, not even a year ago. Todd Fortune asked them to do that because he wanted an independent analysis to see what we can work on. So I'm going through that pretty closely. I'm still looking at the Metropolitan Sewer District materials that I picked up. You know, I found everyone who I tried to meet with was excellent in giving me information to help me have a good start if I get the chance to make that start. So my job right now is to do my homework and see what areas we can take care of and what we have to put off. Certainly, downtown development's going to be pretty hard hit because we're having a hotel boom, and that tourist industry, the visitors industry, was a $5 billion industry, and it supported 80,000 jobs. So that's going to be pretty hard hit. And we're going to need to have good partnerships with the state and with the federal government. It'd be really nice if we had some representatives in Congress who wanted to help us here financially.
So tell us, Connie Pillich, what have you learned about the community during this crisis, I guess in terms of its strength, but also in its vulnerabilities?
Well, let me tell you about the strength. One thing we've done in as a campaign, we have started collecting donations for the Council on Aging, and we've had such a great response. We ask our supporters and friends and neighbors to put out the items on their wish list, things like household things like toilet paper and cleaners and tissues and toothpaste, stuff like that. And then we pick it up on Saturdays and we deliver it to the Council on Aging on Monday. We just had an amazing response. People have been so generous, and we joke about all the toilet paper missing from the shelves at Kroger's. Well, I took it all to the Council on Aging yesterday. So, yeah, but I think people have been just terrific. I think some of the challenges we have right now is that just in terms of the election, some people don't know what's going on with the election. I'm finding that out as I make my calls, and I still get emails about that. Some people are not aware. They don't know the process. So we've been trying to make sure people have that information. One of my team members was over at New Jerusalem Church volunteering when they were giving out free lunches, and he was offering absentee ballot application forms. So we've been trying to do that where it's safe and in the safe, wet manner, of course, to do that so that people know how to vote. But I think it's just hard. You know, people don't read newspapers like they used to. People don't listen to NPR in their drive time because they're not driving. So it's a little bit hard to get some of those types of things, those types of information out.
Well, we'll just take the moment to note that radios do work in the house, so feel free to spread the word about that. People are still free to listen. And before we let you go, Connie, we'll give you 30 seconds to make your general pitch to voters.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm Connie Pillich. I'm running for the county commission. I'm thrilled to have the endorsement of three commissioners. And my campaign was all about infrastructure. I want to be the commissioner that focuses our energies on fixing roads, bridges, and sewers. Might take me a little longer, given the financial crisis we're going to find ourselves in by the end of the year. But I also want to draw upon my experience in the military, as a public defender, as a mother, and as a legislator. I guess I'm asking people for their vote, and I hope that was not more than 30 seconds.
It was not. Connie Pillich is a Democratic candidate for Hamilton County Commission. In the April 28th primary, she faces fellow Democrats Kelly Prather and Alicia Reese. Connie Pillich, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue our look now at next Tuesday's Democratic primary for the open seat on Hamilton County Commission. Next up is Kelly Prather, a Price Hill advocate. Here's our pre-recorded interview. And joining me now is Kelly Prather. She is one of three Democratic candidates for an open seat on the Hamilton County Commission. Kelly, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm glad that we could connect again. This is a little bit different than the last time we spoke. Back when we thought the primary election was going to be on March 17th, we had you and the other candidates in the studio here. And now, of course, we're practicing social distancing and having this follow-up interview on the phone ahead of the April 28th mail-in primary. So first, let's start with an easy question, maybe an easy question. Just tell us a little bit about how you're doing amid all of this strangeness.
And you know what? In the midst of this horrific pandemic, I am faring pretty well. As I indicated before, well, the world knows that I'm an this area knows that I'm an occupational therapist. And I am literally working with patients who are COVID-19 positive. I discussed before that healthcare is a ministry for me, and so this is my life. And so for the world to be hit with COVID-19 in the height of the primary, it's just so ironic. But I'm just excited to just be able to make a difference in the lives of the people who I would normally serve anyhow. And sadly, a lot of them have contracted the coronavirus.
So how are you working with people who are COVID-19 positive?
Oh, a lot of my patients who we originally thought had the flu or pneumonia were discharged to the hospital. They went out to the hospital. Several came back and they were COVID-19 positive. And so when they come back to that, when they return nursing facilities, they get skilled nursing care and then they're referred for therapy services. And then I go out and I evaluate them and determine if they need services. This respiratory illness is really taking a negative turn, not only on the patients themselves, but also the staff, because, you know, we have to wear the N95 masks, and everyone's being ordered to wear N95 masks, too. So it's just impacting individuals' ability to function. And so you have to be there to understand exactly what I'm saying, but we're just still working to keep our patients healthy.
So you're working in an office somewhere, a physical therapy location where patients are brought in to recover from this virus specifically?
Yeah, well, I don't work in an office. I work in a skilled nursing facility, skilled nursing and assisted living facilities throughout Hamilton County.
And these are places that have been hit particularly hard in some parts of our country. What type of precautions are being taken by folks like you who are there on the front lines assisting these folks? You talked about the N95 masks, but what do you look like when you're in there?
I mean, we literally look like astronauts. To be honest, we wear face masks. We also have to wear gowns. It's PPE, personal protective equipment. But we wear the masks, we wear gowns, we wear gloves. And then for patients who are still symptomatic, now you have some patients who return who are asymptomatic and then some who still have active symptoms, you have to wear a face shield. So just imagine, being a clinician, we're not able to maintain the social distancing standards that Governor Mike DeWine said, because we have to be in close contact with our patients. A lot of them come back with decreased strength, decreased endurance, and you have to have what's called a gait belt or a transfer belt if you want them to stand, because they can literally fall over. So just imagine. Now, when I was on the show before, you all know that aside from being a therapist, I'm also a cancer patient. Well, my cancer is in remission, thank God. It's in remission, but I, like so many other healthcare providers, frontline healthcare providers, have compromised immune systems, but we have a duty to to provide the services that we're licensed to perform. And again, we have to be in close contact with them, and it is what you see online at the stories as compared to what's there. So to answer the initial question, we literally look like astronauts working with our patients, and it puts us in an uncomfortable situation because the patients feel like they understand that they have this virus. It looks like, okay, I'm contagious and you're doing everything. Like, they feel uncomfortable, we feel uncomfortable, and it's something I never thought that I would have to experience, but that's our life right now.
And we're talking with Kelly Prather. She is one of three Democratic candidates for an open seat on the Hamilton County Commission in the April 28th primary. She faces fellow Democrats Connie Pillage and Alicia Reese. And Kelly, you're talking about having a compromised immune system since you have a cancer that is in remission, and you're a frontline healthcare worker working directly with COVID-19 positive patients. Are you scared at all?
You know, I shared some of my experiences before when I was on the show before, and I've had opportunities where I could have died myself, and I promised God that if he allowed me to live, then I would do the work that he has called me to do. A lot of what I do as a public servant is based on the promise that I made to God. And healthcare, I mentioned this a minute ago, healthcare is truly a ministry. It's not just a job for us. We really care about our patients, and we want the very best for them. And so, you know, I think that because I am a God-fearing woman, I know that God didn't give me a spirit of fear. And so every day before I go into work, I do pray. I pray for myself. I pray for my patients. I also have one of my patients is a minister, an ordained minister. And sometimes when it gets overwhelming, you know, we'll go and thank God I get to work with him because he'll pray over us too. So I just think it's about maintaining the faith and just going and doing what I was trained to do. And like I said, you know that I just survived cancer, and before you talked about the fact that I am a gun violence survivor, and during that experience is when I made that promise to God. And so this is literally the work that he has me to do, especially since it does not only impact our community, but it's impacting the entire world. So we have a duty to take care of others, and that's what I'm doing. So I try not to be afraid when I go in. I just get prayed up and go in and do what I have to do.
Well, I want to talk about two of those issues, and one of them is, of course, domestic violence. That is something that you survived. And I also want to talk about some of the reports that we see how COVID-19 is disproportionately impacting African-American members of our community. First, let's start with that. Are you seeing a disparity in the racial makeup of the patients that you're assisting?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Probably 90% of my patients who are COVID-19 positive are African-Americans, but that's also something that I've been speaking about for so long, the health disparities. We need to look at what is contributing, the things that are contributing to the health disparities, and why African-Americans, particularly in the city of Cincinnati and throughout Hamilton County, we generally die years prior to our counterparts, our white counterparts. So the reports that Black and Brown and Native American people are contracting COVID-19 at a faster pace or a more rapid pace than other cultures is true, and I'm witnessing it firsthand because, like I said, 90% of my patients who are COVID-19 positive are African Americans. Sadly, a lot of them are seniors, but of course I work in a skilled nursing facility, so you'll see a lot of geriatrics. But now I'm seeing a lot of baby boomers too. So a lot of them have the pre-existing conditions or the comorbidities that make it easier for them to contract COVID-19, and it is really discouraging. And I think that when I look at some of my senior patients, I see my aunts, I see my aunts, I see my mom, and so that makes me want to work harder to just save their lives because, again, we're dying at disproportionate rates years earlier than our counterparts. And I and my colleagues, we have some amazing nursing members of the nursing staff, SCNAs, LPNs, and RNs who do everything in their power to save these individuals. So it is it's a disparaging situation, but yes, we're seeing Black people dying at disproportionate rates as compared to our white counterparts or our patients, our white patients.
Kelly, you just noted that you're a survivor of gun violence, and if I recall correctly from our previous interview, that was related to domestic violence. And one of the issues that we're seeing across the country as people are kept home, that those who live in domestic violence situations, troubled homes, broken homes, or maybe live with a partner that is abusive towards them, they're more vulnerable now because there's not an escape. There's you're home all the time and you're not even able to make the call for help because the other person might be listening in. Can you share a little bit of perspective on what that might be like for some of the people living that situation?
I can only imagine that it would be traumatizing to be in a situation where even if you have an escape plan, you cannot execute that plan because the first responders are not able to provide the services that they normally do. I am appreciative that a lot of social service agencies have posted means of getting the support or accessing help in emergency situations. And so, you know, when I look on social media, when I see news reports that are talking about domestic violence survivors and the agencies that are hands-on to protect individuals, it gives me hope. But again, that situation can be traumatizing, and that's just another population that you have to, you know, you have to pray over because it when you're in those type of situations, it's not as easy as, okay, you're unhappy, you know, he's abusing you, you should just leave. A lot of times it's more mind over matter. And if you have children, you have financial situations, you are more likely to stay in that situation. So just imagine being in a situation where you've been furloughed from your job, your abusive spouse is not able to make money, and there's a lot of tension in that environment. And so, again, it's traumatizing on all fronts for the partners, for the children, and even family members who know family members or friends who are aware of that situation. So, again, that's a population that you have to pray over, and I appreciate the social service agencies who are working really, really hard to make them as safe as possible, even though that's basically virtually impossible right now.
And we're talking with Kelly Prather, one of three Democrats running for the open seat on the Hamilton County Commission. She faces fellow Democrats Connie Pillich and Alicia Reese in the April 28th mail-in primary. I imagine that your campaign has been somewhat disrupted, not just by the pandemic, but the fact that you are a frontline healthcare responder. How have you managed to juggle the campaign amid all this? How's it working?
Well, you know what? Ironically, my campaign was centered on quality of life issues. The fact that we need to address healthcare, we need to address mental health issues, we need to address the disparities in healthcare, we need to address the lack of housing or the lack of affordable housing, we need to address transportation. And so I think that, again, it's ironic that this COVID-19 pandemic hit in the height of the campaign because it kind of accentuates or gives me an opportunity to put into action what actually needs to happen in order to improve the quality of life for citizens. When we were campaigning and during a lot of the debates, a lot of the focus was on the Bengal Stadium, MSD, those issues, but you did not hear anyone speaking about quality of life, health, the issues that I just presented. And so now, again, it gives us an opportunity to talk about safety nets for people who are in domestic violence situations. It gives us an opportunity to talk about how do we respond to worldwide pandemics or viral outbreaks that's killing individuals. How do we respond to this? And so, again, I think that the fact that I work in healthcare and I'm able to demonstrate by my actions and the fact that I'm going in, working with patients and talking about not only what the patients need, but what frontline healthcare providers need, it's a blessing and a curse at the same time, if that makes sense. Because, again, I get to show what's needed in the community based on what's impacting the entire world. So, again, it's a blessing and a curse. It's really, you know, it's really hard. You know, I couldn't come into the studio right now because we're social distancing. I'm literally sitting in my car. I just came from work with a mask, with scrubs on, and I just think that it was perfect timing in a sense. It was perfect timing, and so it really, this situation gives us an opportunity to just sit down and think about what is really needed, what's important, prioritize our life and prioritize our health. One of my favorite slogans, and I've been using this for so long, I don't know why I started saying this, health is the new wealth. If you're not healthy, you can't do anything. You can't work, you can't govern, you can't take care of a family, you can't do anything. So health is the new wealth, and so I think that this pandemic is, you know, it's accentuating the fact that we need to be more mindful of how we can keep not only ourselves, but others healthy.
Kelly Prather is a Democratic candidate for Hamilton County Commission. I've given all the candidates the opportunity to make their 30-second pitch for why they should be elected in the April 28th primary. So I'm going to offer the same to you, of course. 30 seconds to make your pitch to voters here.
I am Kelly Prather, a candidate for Hamilton County Commissioner. My slogan is health is the new wealth. I think that in light of the COVID-19 pandemic, we need to make sure that we are prioritizing a quality of life, a healthy lifestyle for everyone. And we need to be hands-on in terms of ensuring that everyone's health care needs are met. So I'm running for Commissioner again. I'm not a career politician. I am a public servant with a career in healthcare, and my goal is to keep Ohio or Hamilton County healthy and safe. So, prayerfully, you will vote for me on April 28th or before April 28th via absentee ballot. Kelly Prather, check out my website, kellyprather.org. Thank you so much.
Kelly Prather is a Democratic candidate for Hamilton County Commission. She faces Alicia Reese and Connie Pillage in the Democratic primary. It is a mail-in primary. April 28th is Election Day. Kelly Prather, thank you so much for your time, and good luck out there.
You are so welcome, and thank you for having me. Pray that I stay safe. I appreciate you all.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.